Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Donnie Football was still ripping the Steelers to shreds from down in Florida last night as he watched them choke away a game. Their worst loss when leading after three quarters in a very, very, very long time, I think 40 years, to go into the fourth quarter with a lead and then lose by double digits. And so he was getting takes off, which we love. He'll be back tomorrow. Just in time for Tomlin Tuesday. Yippee. Football topic, the Donnie Football Debrief, is brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread Company, over 100 years of baking experience. Charlie Board just had a pretty good Sunday because
the Buccaneers.
His Tampa Bay Bucks maintained their stranglehold over first place in the NFC South, with the Saints, Panthers, and Falcons all losing. Atlanta, I think, had the worst loss in the NFL by far.
Dolphins
yesterday, non-competitive at home against Miami.
Jaylen Waddle actually looked fast again in that game. Atlanta was so bad.
And I thought to myself, hey, the Steelers should trade for Jaylen Waddle.
And I thought to myself, thank God I picked the Buccaneers -4 as my Moneyball bet on our PM team picks on
but
our podcast
also,
page.
Thank you for your service, Mulsey.
But also after that, like, okay, you get Jaylen Waddle, then what? You've given up a lot of draft capital. Can he play safety? Can he get pressure on the quarterback?
Can he make adjustments defensively if you need to in the middle of a game?
I stopped and thought about this, too. Could you have a pair of inside linebackers who are more overrated than Wilson and Queen?
Somebody sent a message and said they should have just brought a Landon Roberts back, and it's very hard to argue that right now.
My God, I mean, all we heard about after the Browns game was, oh, Queen gets it now. He understands this defense. I think he's played two ghastly games in a row, and Wilson's supposed to be the guy at linebacker who covers tight ends and is a great, we saw it on the play made in Dublin, the effort play. This guy can run. He can run. And Kraft is lighting them up, and they're getting killed in the flat. And where are the guys in the second level at running back who are against running backs who are limiting gains to 5 or 6 yards instead of 15?
By the way, have you noticed how many pieces you've seen from people who cover primarily the Packers about the Packers finally got their offense in a true big-time rhythm and how that scary they might be moving forward? Do you just want to pause for 1 second before Charlie gets the debrief in and note that they're talking about the Packers getting their mojo really going on offense against the Steelers? What a complete, like, abdication of what this franchise purports to be about, that teams are getting right offensively against the Steelers.
Yeah, it's 2 weeks in a row. And I saw some Steelers fans celebrating the Jets' win over the Bengals, which did help. But also the way it happened was not a good reflection at all on the Steelers. Cincy scores, Jets come back, score, crazy play. You've got Breece Hall throwing a touchdown pass. Oh, but here we go again. All Joe Flacco needs is a field goal to win the game at the end. And the Jets defense, the New York Jets defense, 0-7, stopped him at the end of the game. Flacco had, what, 240 yards passing? Nice day.
Yeah,
not an epic game like he did against the Steelers.
He had a couple big ones. I mean,
the Jets defense did that to him.
By the way, do you, you're talking about linebackers still. Did you see what Trey Essex tweeted?
Oh, he murdered Queen. I saw that.
From a former player, this is a lot different. This is the kind of guy Trey Essex would have had to block a guy like Patrick Queen on like a blitz. Yep. You know, I don't know what's going on with Queen, but he is playing a soft brand of football tonight.
Yeah.
That is the dreaded S, four-letter S word from one player to another. Like, Trey Essex can say it, and it means it's a lot different than some Joe Schmo who's never played football at any level saying it. That's a dude who would have had to block Patrick Queen on, like, an inside linebacker, like an X-Blitz or something like that. A soft brand of football.
Chaz, what do you got for us?
The debrief, 10-27-2025. There's been a lot of talk about the Steelers being the most highest-paid defense and how their results do not reflect that. So I wanted to see if all of the other teams that have paid a lot of money for defense are getting the same results, or are they getting
better
the bang,
ROI?
The bang for their buck.
ROI, baby. Let's talk ROI. Then we'll talk NIL.
The second highest payroll for the defensive side of the ball is the New York Giants. They rank 29th in yards per game allowed.
Okay.
The Indianapolis Colts rank third with $133 million. They rank 24th in yards per game allowed. The Washington Commanders, $128 million, 27th in yards per game allowed. And the Chicago Bears with $125 million, 25th in yards per game allowed. So none of the teams in the top five of the defensive payroll are getting a good return
other than the Colts
on investment.
Here's my take on that. I think offensive players, the important ones that are expensive, age better than defensive guys. Quarterbacks and offensive tackles. I think those guys get big money on offense. We see great quarterbacks play into their 30s, and sometimes they're better in their 30s than they were in their 20s. It's very rare, I think, for guys on the defensive side of the ball to have their careers go that way, Cam Hayward being an exception to that. When you're paying guys on defense, you're paying them for what they did in the past. And it's a young man's game. I think Philly is one of the cheapest defenses in the league. They did last year.
They have the second cheapest.
So it hasn't really played out this year that way, but last year they had the cheapest and they were the best defense. When push came to shove, they completely dominated the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
They had to pay guys like Zach Bond. I heard you wrong, Charlie. I thought you said Indy ranked third. You said 24th. They were the third highest spend.
Yes.
I think it's something even simpler. I think this drives home a very basic point about the modern NFL. It is an offensive league. It is a quarterback's league. It is pay your offense and stay young and cheap on defense.
I'm glad you brought that up, Malzie, because I have the top five offensive side of the ball payroll and their current ranks.
Yep. Oh, I can't wait for this.
The Cincinnati Bengals spend the most money on their offense with $159 million. They currently rank 29th, but we all know without Joe Burrow, that takes a massive hit.
Sure.
Okay, sure.
So then I added the sixth place team. The Rams in second place with $155 million, they rank sixth.
Mm-hmm. Okay, pretty good.
The Kansas City Chiefs, $151 million, they rank fifth. The Atlanta Falcons rank fourth with $148 million. They rank 15th, so middle of the pack, but still in the top 50%.
Top half. Yep. Top half.
The Detroit Lions, $140 million, they rank eighth. And because the Cincinnati Bengals were the exception to the rule, mm-hmm. I included the sixth team, which was the Dallas Cowboys, and they rank second in yards per game allowed. So we can all agree, class, pay the offensive side of the ball, and let the defense figure itself out.
But part of paying the offensive side of the ball is drafting guys, and then they play well on first contracts, so you give them big money for second contracts. Look at all the guys the Steelers have used those picks on and where they are now.
Kenny Pickett.
Najee Harris turned out to be just a pedestrian running back. Kenny Pickett is a backup quarterback.
They traded George Pickens because they couldn't deal with the headache.
Exactly. So part of the reason why they're not spending a lot of money on offense is because they're not producing. They're not finding offensive players.
Speaking of this year's third round pick on offense, how many snaps he play?
Caleb Johnson, you tell me.
0.
Yeah.
0. Off to a great start there. Anyway, Pony, sorry.
Yeah, but that's my argument there. I mean, you don't want to spend money on bad players, and they've drafted a lot of bad on the offensive side of the ball. In the case of Pickens, they just said bad guy, not bad player.
Who's trending from like even last year's draft class that it's an offensive player that they picked who you're like, yeah, he'll get a second contract for decent money here. Frazier?
Yes.
Fautanu, jury out.
Yep.
Because he hasn't played much. Roman Wilson, no.
No.
Mason McCormick, he maybe get a second deal,
He's
maybe.
He's not going to break the bank, though.
No. Go back another year, Pony. Offensive players, Broderick Jones, pains me to say it, no way.
Darnell Washington.
He's not going to break the bank.
Unless they make him a tackle.
True. Spencer Anderson.
No.
The way they like to run offense, they might. Calvin Austin, to go back to that Hayward or the Pickens and Pickett draft. No, he's going to get, what's he going to get on the open market?
Calvin Austin?
Yeah.
Probably like a $6 or $7 million receiver, tops.
Connor Hayward, he might not get another contract. Chris Oladokun, two-time Super Bowl champion, you know? Like, I mean,
yeah.
It's, you're right on the money. They've made very, Kendrick Green, forgot about him. Did you say him?
I did not, but
you know
right.
Who, of all the offensive players they've drafted in the last 5 years, you know who's made the most money in free agency? Dan Moore Jr.
And that might actually help the Steelers get a better comp pick because he's playing, even though I don't think he's playing well. The Titans in general stink. Chaz, thanks for a good update.
Does anybody call you Chaz other than Pony?
A good debrief.
Yeah, I've been called many things as time has gone on in my life. Chaz is being one of them. Charlie Tuna, Charlie Brown.
Charlie Tuna? Like Charlie
the Sunkissed Tuna.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
Here's Alex on the fan. Hello, Alex. Hello, Al. Alex, you there? Nope. Here is Josh in Wexford. Hello, Josh.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, man.
What's up, Josh?
Hey, so I was calling to discuss some potential trade deadline acquisitions that we can make if, since you guys mentioned last week that we need to go all in on offense and not worry as much about adding pieces to the defense. So I think we need to add another wide receiver. And I know New Orleans is looking to shop Rashid Shaheed. I think he's a guy we could potentially get if guys like...
Let me ask you a question, Josh. I'm going to ask you a question. I know the Steelers are in first place still. They are not the betting favorite to win their division anymore. All right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Being honest, do you think that the Steelers should be buyers or sellers at the trade deadline?
I definitely don't think they should be sellers. I really don't think we're out of this, especially with the situation we're in. And
all right, let's say they grant your wish. They trade for Rashid Shaheed. With this defense, would you pick them to win a playoff game?
Not with the way the defense is playing.
Right, and how does Shaheed help their defense?
Helps their offense score more points.
You're exactly right. Yeah, I honestly, yeah, I'm just basing off what you guys said last week on going in.
Well,
on
I didn't say that. Joe said that. And I didn't think Joe was like out of his mind by saying that. Joe's point was just like, look at the defense as a lost cause and lean all the way in on offense. The problem with that for me is there just are not many teams ever that have won a lot of playoff, you know, like have had good Januaries who are that imbalanced. Like, the worst you'll find is...
Denver, with their defense actually being great in 15.
Or, you know, Kansas City maybe 1 year had a middle-of-the-pack defense.
But then they would play better, I feel like, in the postseason,
sure.
Too.
Yeah, right. This defense is straight-up, flat-out bad. Really bad in certain places, like, I don't know, playing defense against a quarterback who's going to throw the ball instead of hand it off. And, look, maybe as much as 5 days ago... Rashid Shaheed, Chris Olave, all those guys. Yeah, I'm interested. It ain't going to make a difference if you play defense like this. And who's optimistic that it's going to change? Raise your hand and call in at 412-928-9370.
Would you buy or sell right now? I'd sell whatever parts you have that you think you can offload.
I'm not, like, I'd listen on anything. So I guess to answer your question, like, am I going into it thinking I'm going to subtract from this team? No. But the Bills lost Ed Oliver. If
Cam
the Bills
Hayward.
Called and said, we'll offer you a second round pick for Cam Hayward, he's on his way to Buffalo tomorrow.
And he should be. I thought about that. That was the first thing I thought of when I saw the Ed Oliver injury news. I said, you know.
What was that?
Jazz?
What the heck was that?
That was a sneeze.
It sounded like I'm going to make
it sounded like Michael Jackson in a music video.
I'm going to make the sound off mic that I heard in my ears.
What was that?
I didn't
it
know
came
if you guys
through,
could hear that.
Yeah.
But that, yeah, these are supposed to be soundproof walls.
They're not.
Shimona.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Things. First off, who recovered? Second, Regain will have it long enough to be a catch and a fumble. It looked that way live, and the Packers have it.
I've heard that chant for 18 years, so Packer fans travel really well. First time in a while I've used silent count for a home game. That's a credit to those Packer fans.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Weather for Palo Alto Saturday afternoon, Pitt-Stanford. A big game for Pitt. 67 degrees, partly cloudy skies for Pitt-Stanford. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions.
You ever been out there to Palo Alto?
I've been to San Fran, so no. I've been to the Bay Area before.
Monterey, great place, a little south of the Bay.
Never been.
Very scenic part of the country.
So, Aaron Rodgers' comments after the game. This was a big topic on social media throughout the game. The way Acrisure Stadium sounded, you could even hear it in that highlight when Kenneth Gainwell fumbled and it looked like the Packers recovered and the fans erupted when it did, when they did. There were a lot of Green Bay fans there. And even though they were outnumbered by Steelers fans, they were louder than Steelers fans. And even early in the game, I could tell, third downs for the Steelers, you could hear their fans making noise. And then as the game went on, there's Rodgers just openly acknowledging, yeah, we had to do something that I've really never done. Go to the silent count. This is like a badge of honor for the Steelers when they're on the road.
They do it to the Chargers and the Raiders,
and
even
the Falcons, yeah, they and do the Panthers, and
probably Miami sometimes.
A lot of these teams.
If the game is close and worth it,
I'd say they do it to at least half the NFL, maybe not more.
Didn't the Steelers do it so badly to the Chargers once when the Chargers were in the soccer stadium that they did a little Rickroll prank where they started to play Renegade and pretended to do it and then stopped right away?
Yeah, I remember that.
Like, that's how crazy their reputation for taking over stadiums was, though.
So when it happens here, it's obviously an outlier, and it stands out and sticks out like a sore thumb.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, forces fans to explain how it happened or why it happened, or express their feelings on how, what their, like, just reaction to it is when somebody comes in and takes over your stadiums. Takeover doesn't mean there were 55,000 Packers fans there. There were just enough where it seemed almost like a neutral site game.
Well, they were also extremely enthusiastic and excited about their team, feeling good about their team. When your team is good and they're doing good things, and in this case, like, the dam is breaking after they've trailed for a lot of the game,
yep,
and then they start just getting rolling downhill, you're going to be motivated to cheer. And to their credit, when the game wasn't obviously going the Packers' way, did you notice it about, what, the second quarter maybe?
I thought right from the very beginning it sounded like there was a Packers presence there.
I was playing catch up on my phone. I put the kids to bed, and then I wanted to watch it from the beginning and speed up during the commercials. And the thing that's just jarring is you're seeing what you always see now in the NFL for road teams, the guards looking over, getting the protection, tapping the center, and it's go time. And it's like, man, that never happens to them. And I had that thought before I like realized that was definitely what was happening. I said, man, it looks like they're in a silent count situation. Like, what's going on here? Are they having that many problems like hearing each other?
I honestly don't think in this specific instance it's a bad look by Steelers fans.
Is it because the Packers fans are a national fan base and have that sort of heritage?
Let me explain myself. I thought when Kenny's first start, and I'm not just saying this because I was a Kenny guy, when Niners fans came in and Steelers fans sold their tickets to San Francisco fans with deep pockets.
Yes.
In the first game of the season,
they weren't San Francisco fans with deep pockets. You just don't want to admit the Youngstown connection here, my friend.
Well, I don't think the Youngstown connection was like selling out the lower bowl, with all due respect to Youngstown, Ohio. But either way, it happened, and it was obvious, and it was very visible on TV, and you could hear it and all those things. I thought that was a bad job. It's the first game of the year. You're selling your tickets opening Sunday.
The fans who wear red that really pops on TV and is sets off from your fans.
If you're a Steelers fan, you're perturbed by what happened on Thursday, the Cincinnati game. You've watched the Steelers pretty much look like the same team year to year. And I'm sorry, it's a bucket list game for Packers fans. If Ben Roethlisberger had decided to go play and catch on with some team that needed a quarterback at the end of his career.
The Cleveland Browns.
Okay, that's a bad example. But if it was some kind of, you know, if it was an NFC team that we don't really care about otherwise.
If it's Carolina Panthers.
Exactly. If the Steelers played a game in Charlotte, it would be almost 100% Steelers fans. Because you want to watch your team play, but you also kind of want to pay respect to an iconic all-time great player. Green Bay fans are everywhere. They're a gigantic fan base. And let's face it, this game meant way more to them than it did to us. Aaron Rodgers has a soft spot in their heart, way more than us. And it was a unique opportunity to watch him play against Green Bay, one that likely will never happen again. So for that reason, I get it. Like, they're willing to pay two times, three times, four times what the ticket's worth because they want this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to watch their team play against their old Hall of Fame quarterback. I don't have a problem with Steelers fans in that situation selling their tickets.
Was that how hot the market was?
It was huge.
Going for two, three, and four times?
Yeah, I mean, everybody I talked to about that game sold their tickets for way more than the face value was. And that's saying something because that doesn't always happen with primetime games, Chris. You know that.
No, I know.
Well, because Steelers fans are weird about primetime games.
Alex went to the game last night.
Congratulations on all her success.
No, but she has gone to games just for the primetime part of it. She's gone to primetime games before. And noted how sparse the crowd can look, relatively speaking, because Steelers fans, much like their owner, very infamously, don't like these games because you got to get up and go to work the next morning. You don't think it's as bad of a look because of all the reasons you laid out. I will say I think it's a bad look for two reasons. One, you lost the game, and that always makes it feel worse. You got humiliated the last 15 minutes of game action. And also, just in a broad sense, I'm not trying to get granular with this argument. You're the Steelers. You're supposed to do this to other teams, and part and parcel with that is it's pretty much never supposed to happen to you. We know, because you just laid out the 49ers situation for one, we know that it now has been happening more and more. But it's your reputation is no one comes into our building, we go into their buildings. Do you know what's actually almost worse than this one? I still think it's a bad look. Going to Cincinnati last week, the Herb Street noting that there are very few terrible towels in that crowd. I thought that was like kind of the two taken together are kind of a sign of how frustrated I think Steelers fans are generally.
I'm not saying they're apathetic because they're clearly not. I mean, we'll talk about
creeping in though with some people. Like when you make a value judgment, do I want to either sell my tickets and just make some money? Or in the case of the Bengals game, do I want to drive 5 hours, buy a ticket in this building, and probably get yelled at and jeered by opposing fans just because that's what happens? You're willing to do that a lot more if your team is good.
I mean, my feeling on last night's game, if I had tickets, could have easily been, why do I want to go watch my team lose in not freezing temperatures or anything like that, but why do I want to deal with all that, not get home until, you know, 1 o'clock, 1:30 in the morning, whatever it is.
Be mad
that they lost, and the transaction is I can stay home, watch them do all those things that make me angry, turn the game off at any time, any moment. And oh, by the way, I'm going to make money off of it. I'm financially
better off. If anything, making
off.
Money when you think they're going to lose the game is like an ease of the sting.
Yeah.
Sure. So no, I get that. I do.
I don't think it's a one-size-fits-all thing. I take all these fan situations case by case, and this is just one where, yeah, Aaron Rodgers was probably shocked. Well, maybe he wasn't shocked because he said in his statement that Packers fans travel great. And he knows Packers fans better than he does Steelers fans. So maybe even going into this game, he thought that it was possible. Maybe they, I don't know. We can ask people that were there. They might be feel like the statute of limitations are up. Maybe they practice some silent count stuff in practice in anticipation of this. They see where the secondary market's going through data reports that they get. Then again, you know, there's Packers fans and Florida and Texas and California. You don't know if those are Steelers fans or Packers fans.
I would just like to know from the people who are actually in the building how loud it actually was, like a fact or fiction. We heard it obviously enough. We know it came over on TV later in the game.
I don't think there's any doubt.
They were in the silent count. But I want to know from people there, was it like an 80-20 crowd and the 20 were just deafening?
I heard from someone today, this morning, before I went to the gym and ended up throwing up from doing too many burpees.
Why did you do too many burpees quickly?
Can you I had to do 100.
Explain to people, why did you have to do 100 burpees?
Because my trainer's a Packers fan, and I didn't want to be a wuss and made a wager with him that if the Steelers lost, I would have to do them.
Did you have to do them consecutively? Like start at one and don't stop till you get through 100?
I could take little breaks.
Okay.
But it wasn't like I was doing like 10 and then, you know, go do
it. But our listeners know a burpee, squat down, kick out, come back in, jump up, squat down.
Yeah, not fun.
No.
What did we talk about? You said that the nipple thing was going to be the final straw. Now you have to do 100 burpees?
I didn't say that. I said that it's possible that the nipple thing beget more...
stupid bets?
If I liked the nipple piercing thing.
But you haven't even had your nipples pierced yet, and before that even took place,
yeah,
you made a bet to do 100 of an exercise that even like the most hardened gym goers know... can induce vomiting because of how difficult it is.
I know, but I part of the reason why I did it was because I'm like, well, even if I lose this, it's going to be good for my body, so that's the payoff.
I have one other take on this,
Wait, you never let me finish my point. I got a text from somebody today who's covered the NFL and gone to games for the better part of 40 years and gone to a lot of Steelers games, and they said that's the most... that's the loudest the opposing fan base has ever been at a Steelers game.
DPJ's in the YouTube comments.
Maybe there were more fans from other teams, but that was the loudest he had ever heard an opposing fan base
sound. So DPJ, YouTube commenter, says he was there 90 minutes before kickoff. Packers fans were very loud on the ramps in the rotunda. He said, I would guess it was either 70-30 Steelers to Packers or maybe 65-35, but he pointed that he just said, Packers fans were amped for this. They came in excited. They came in expecting to root for something. As he put it, Steelers fans came in and expected SOS. Same old Steelers.
412-928-9370. Here is... I don't know what line two is all about. I don't know if I've seen that before.
Well, just, yeah. There's like a...
So I don't know which one
the
would.
I think that
I think the
thing on the bottom just means it came up on like a blocked number line. But maybe. I think that's otherwise legit.
Here's our number two fan, Jeff in South Park. Hello, Jeff.
Hey guys, I want to go back to something you said a couple weeks ago about Tomlin being in the same place for far too long. I feel like that's kind of sort of what reared its head last night, insofar as we saw what all happened to the Penguins the last couple of years, how the slightest sign of adversity, even if they were leading in the game at one point, they got pushed back from the other team. They had an absolute meltdown and collapsed in the third period. That's what happened to the Steelers last night. And it just kills me when you think of like having to adjust game plans. Okay, you guys brought up they didn't really have a backup plan for when Saint-Malo went out. Well, it seems like 2 weeks in a row, another thing that happened was they got an unexpected boost from the running game from the opposing offense. Like, they did a good job of stopping Jacobs. And they're like, yes, this is what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then their backup pulls off a couple of runs in the second half. And then all of a sudden, they just start collapsing again. It's like, well, we didn't have this guy on our scouting report. And I just don't understand why they cannot make adjustments on the fly worth a damn. And I mean,
Jeff, the answer is right in front of you, and I think you know it as well as we do. The head coach runs that defense, and he's the one utterly incapable of making the adjustments.
Like Mike Sullivan, right?
Yeah, I just think it's very simple. I think it's the coach, and I think you know that, and I think we know that.
I don't mind that analogy at all. I'm fine with it. Dan Orlovsky tweeted today, I often watch Steelers defensive tape and write down the note, what are they doing here? And you brought this up to me. And it's another example of a national talker who gets to talk football and people, you know, for the most part, respect his opinion because he puts the work in.
Well, he knows the schematics enough and breaks it down enough to make it clear he knows
what
he's watching.
And he's just unwilling to say Mike Tomlin is failing the Steelers or Mike Tomlin's not doing a good enough job with his defensive philosophy or defensive game planning or defensive in-game play calling. None of those things. He just like puts his hands up in the air. He's like, I don't know what this is. Is he that obtuse to defensive, the defensive side of the ball?
No, because he had to study how to beat defenses when he actually.
So
was
you're
in the
right.
Game.
He just doesn't want to say it, man.
I wouldn't have.
They don't want to say it, and it drives me nuts.
It is an allowance made for Mike and virtually no one else. They were more willing to be critical of Bill Belichick in his late years.
100%, dude. 100%. They were waiting for that to happen. They were waiting for Ben.
Here's what's crazy about the Orlovsky thing.
Do not disagree with that. I mean, they could not wait to pick Antonio Brown's side in the Ben Roethlisberger drama.
Yeah, they were, I'll admit
that. They couldn't wait.
The thing that kills me is Orlovsky often works with Ryan Clark. Ryan played for Mike, and I feel like I have heard Ryan actually be more critical of Mike in public, in a big forum. Not often. But I've heard him be willing to say Mike is doing a bad job more than Dan.
Yeah, but I love Ryan, but Ryan balances it out because
one week he'll say that,
then 2 weeks later he'll say Mike Tomlin can be the next Andy Reid if he goes to a different
Pony,
team.
Pony, I understand that, and that I don't like that he equivocates it the following week, but he at least says it.
Yeah.
Dan like acts like it's verboten, that he'll get in trouble, that somebody's going to slap him on the wrist.
Texas, well, maybe they will. Mike Greenberg, he wants to keep going on
Stephen
that show.
Stephen A. Smith going to say anything about Mike? Has he chimed in yet today?
I'm sure he's come up with some convoluted reason why the defense stinks and it's
maybe
not
actually
Mike's
that'll
fault.
Maybe that'll be one of their next things, to bring Stephen A. in for a big pep talk to get these guys fired up.
He's done
up.
That.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Aaron Rodgers on the offense, which wasn't that good last night, wasn't bad, wasn't the reason why they lost. He obviously wanted this game more than he led on, although I did get last night in the fourth quarter of that game when you said you kind of like knew the game was over.
About
Chris,
6 minutes left, I kind of was looking.
You were half watching the game and half kind of watching what people were saying about it.
100%.
I did have somebody who I really, really like the way their mind thinks. And I'm like, man, I wish this guy did media. And he said, maybe it's possible, here's a theory, that Rodgers not only downplayed the revenge factor against Green Bay because he didn't want to like create a bulletin board situation for the game. Obviously, like smart players like him know not to do that. But maybe he just also didn't have a good feeling about this game.
You would think that that would have changed, though, after they're up 16-7. They've done a good job, relatively speaking, had a pretty good first half.
No, I get that, but I'm saying in terms of how he went into this game, don't...
He didn't want to rock the boat.
If you don't make it out to be a big
deal... Oh, then
you
won't look bad if you get clobbered.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Right.
Maybe.
Because he knows the Packers, obviously, better than anybody in that building. So it's possible he looked at Jordan Love and knows the Steelers' defense and is like, uh-oh.
The thing is,
I'm going to need to be perfect in this game to win.
Yeah, but they got beat going away, and is anybody really focusing on his role in that or like inability to whatever, get them on schedule consistently? No, everyone's rightly focusing on just an atrocious abomination of a defensive effort.
I think here that's true. I haven't watched all these shows today, but I wouldn't be surprised if nationally the narrative is Jordan Love outplayed Aaron Rodgers.
Hold on. Here it is right here on your buddy Nick Wright's show. Here's Eric Mangini, the caption, starting to worry about Rodgers. Steelers? Question mark. No, I'm starting to worry about Mike Tomlin and the Steelers.
Yeah.
I do think this goes back to something, though. Rodgers became a pariah in the media.
Yep.
And would go on McAfee and say stuff and sound off on whatever he wanted to, and that got him on a lot of people's bad sides.
Yep.
And Mike, you combine that with the allergy to criticizing Mike by name directly and laying the blame at his feet, and you have these mental gymnastics.
Did you see
played.
The Sean McVay video that I posted today of him with Peter Schrager? And Schrager's doing his normal elf routine where he's talking about how, you know, he's so chummy with all these coaches.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And he's so chummy with these guys. He's doing his like, man, you've known Mike Tomlin for a long time. Give me your best on Tomlin. Isn't he just he's the greatest guy ever, isn't he? And so McVay tells the story about how there's like a Mike Tomlin at the podium and a different Mike Tomlin that you get in these uncensored, unfiltered situations. And Sean McVay tells the story, and then at the end of it is obviously aware that Steelers fans criticize Mike sometimes because he's probably talked to Mike about it, and says, there's something wrong with you if you don't like Mike Tomlin. That was his, like, that was the last, like, this guy is such a great football coach and great football guy. You've got to have some kind of, like, disease.
If you can't rock with Mike Tomlin.
And I just would, like, Schrager can keep it, like, a fun interview. But can he just say maybe in a moment like that, well, Sean, why do you think his teams haven't won in a long time? Yeah, great dude. Great quote. Can be fun with in social situations, clearly, from the story you just told. But out of curiosity, why do you think it's been such a long... Why has Mike Mularkey won a playoff game more recently than him? Can you explain that one?
Why has Mike Prefer won a playoff game against Mike Tomlin? You know, would you like to hear one of my all-time conspiracy theories, but like wild takes? When guys like McVay, now granted, the last time Tomlin saw him, he beat him. One of the few good, like really good, well-rounded performances of the Kenny era, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of the younger coaches, since Mike is basically the elder statesman now.
Venerate him?
Well, here's why, though. It's not that they venerate him. But the younger offensive guys keep saying nice things because they love going against him because they feel like they can absolutely torch his ass. And like, why would I poke the bear anymore? Of course I'm going to say he's great. Whenever I see them on the schedule, I know exactly what they're going to do, and I feel like I can carve them up. Now, in McVay's case, it didn't work the last time he saw him, and you got like one of those really good Mike games. But I have thought that for a while, that some of these guys who are more accomplished recently, who blow smoke about how much they respect and love him, they might like him personally. They might even feel like he is like a true ball, you know, he loves ball, all that stuff. He lives the life. I cannot possibly imagine, since they're the ones spending hours of every week preparing for every opponent, I cannot imagine that they think he's doing a great job scheming up defense that they're trying to beat.
Here is Chris in Hopewell. Hello, Chris.
Hey, guys. So before I say what I'm about to say, I agree with you 100%. I think Tomlin's days, I think he's fired. But at the same time, I don't think it's ever going to happen. And the thing that I wanted to bring up was Metcalf yesterday when he poked the guy in the eye. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'd rather get punched in the face than get poked in the eye. I just feel like that was a cheap shot.
No doubt. That's like getting spit on. It's like a very disrespectful, low move to do to somebody. Exactly. It's the first time I've looked at him and said, oh, that's something like I would expect from George Pickens when he did that.
Yeah, it was disgusting, really. And and also the Steelers, I was there last night, and it was probably 65-35 Steelers. But the fact is, the Steelers fans, I feel like they just have lost their zeal to
their zeal.
There's nothing to cheer about.
Yeah, well, there was for the second. I thought the second quarter was probably the best quarter they've played all year.
They outscored them 13-0.
And when McManus missed the field goal at the end of the half, it felt to me in the moment, this is going to be one of those games that they just find a way to win. And we come on the air and have to like make sense of it. Like, hey, they just beat one of the best teams in the NFL.
I actually did not have that feeling.
Really?
At any, no, even 16-7, even going into the half with like McManus missing that field goal, I never had that feeling. Friend of the show, friend of mine, fake John and Robinson at the game. He has a take on the crowd. He says at most, it was a 60-40 Steelers crowd. And he said the Packers fans were loud, proud, boisterous, very excitable. So he says it was even closer to the 50-50 than we've heard people suggest. And maybe it felt like that with the crowd noise differential.
And he could still get a sense for the crowd from being in like his obviously very expensive suite with...
He was sending me videos of him, because he played offensive line in high school, of him teaching a kid in the parking lot pass sets.
Mm. Here's Noah on the fan. Hello, Noah.
Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Hey, man.
What's up, Noah?
I want to go really quick today. I came from the future, and I found out how the season's going to end.
Go
you guys with me?
Yes.
Okay, it's going to be redundant, but just hear me out. So, Colts next week, loss. We are 4-4.
Okay.
Chargers, Steelers, loss. We're 4-5. Bengals at home, we win 5-5. Steelers, Bears, we'll give them the benefit of the doubt, 6-5. Mm-hmm. Bills, we lose 6-6. Ravens, we lose 6-7. Dolphins, we win 7-7. Lions, we lose, we're 7-8. Browns, Steelers, we go 8-8. And then there it is, that game at the end of the year against the Ravens, where they'll have already clinched the division or whatever you want to call it. Maybe they don't even have to.
So the Ravens are going to be on quite a heater at this point.
Yeah, true. I'm with you, but what happens?
Hollow 9-8
gets his win. Harbaugh goes for it for two, as he always does.
Tells Jackson to throw the pass left-handed for fun.
Yep, because why not?
No, I have a different.
He's not playing in that game.
Yeah, that's right. He'll have Snoop Huntley throw it with a blindfold on. I have a different opinion on how the season goes. You ready for this one?
Well, wait a minute. Let him finish though. So they go 9-8. They don't make the playoffs.
What's Art going to say?
They'll make the playoffs, and then they will lose, and then
oh, they will make it. Okay.
Heavily anticipate Rooney's. Oh, maybe he'll finally like say, no, we went 9-8. We're a playoff team. We're still recovering. And then, yeah, we get to move on with our lives. Yeah.
Here's how it's going to go. Lost to the Colts, lost to the Chargers, beat the Bengals. Lost to the Bears,
thanks,
lost
Noah.
To the Bills, lost to the Ravens, beat the Dolphins, 6-8. Get beat 55-6 by Dan Campbell and the Lions in an all-time humiliation and put the non-losing season streak to bed once and for all. By, I think, like the platonic ideal of what Mike Tomlin people wish was capable of doing, being an ultimate motivator who hires really good coaches on both sides of the ball and lets them do their jobs, and coaches like a guy who actually does have no fear. That's my opinion. I think the most fitting way for that streak of non-losing seasons to end would be Dan Campbell and the Lions just physically manhandling them in Detroit. An early Christmas present.
But I still think you'd get some Steelers fans who are like, well, at least they're not the Pirates. You know, 9-8 and make the playoffs. I'm never going to complain about that. Could be worse. We could be the Bengals or the Browns. Who cares that we lost to Buffalo by 19 points?
And I don't know, man. Got shut out.
I do think those people exist.
Well,
then why don't we hear Fire Tomlin chants at games, Chris? Obviously they exist because they don't want to do it when they're there and he can hear it.
Maybe we will start hearing them.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNC's apply, in app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused,
is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.